At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Old school security kicks in after the break-in. Too late. SimpliSafe rewinds the story, stopping crime before it starts. ActiveGuard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to detect intruders, alert live monitoring agents, and can deter intruders before they reach your door. It's proactive protection, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee and no contracts. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
All right, here we go on a Monday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Good to be back.
You're back.
Yeah, man. It is good to be back.
Welcome
in studio.
Back.
I don't know what the hell the weather's doing outside. That was not nice.
Honestly, very hilarious to me this morning watching. You're walking up the stairs as I was coming in. And it's cold outside, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
But these first few days it gets cold. I'm not in the habit of like coat or
anything.
Oh, I wear
winter
stuff.
Coat today.
Probably because you're coming back from the Bahamas. You were in the biggest winter coat.
Yeah.
Like, you were heading to a January Chiefs playoff game. I Dude. Practically thought you were going to be in a stocking cap and, like, double-layered gloves with hot hands in them.
You were
not prepared for
40
degrees.
No, it was a 55-degree difference or whatever. And when I left, it wasn't that bad. And I know it's supposed to be nicer later on in the week. So I don't know what the heck happened in the last 48 hours or so. But, yeah, we'll talk
it's
about
it. It's November.
It isn't. This is true. This is very, very true. But I wasn't going to be freezing today. And I didn't know what the studio was going to be like. You guys all know, you know. It could either be 95 degrees in here or it could be 20. And you just don't know. And today, I don't know. Will you tell me it feels normal so far?
No, this feels fine. Got pretty hot on Thursday.
Yeah.
Pretty normal temperature the other 2 days. But you know what? We held in there. We'll talk more about your trip, obviously.
Yeah.
Come up a few. I want to ask you about... You had a huge grin on your face as you swam with dolphins.
Oh, man. It was the best.
So...
It was...
Like genuine joy.
I know.
I saw genuine joy.
My sisters texted me. They're like, "You look so happy," and I was like, "I was." It was a great trip. It really was a great trip. And the dolphin thing was one of the most amazing things I've probably ever done. If anybody has a chance to do it, we'll talk about it more, as you said. But that was one of the coolest things, man. It really was. Just to be able to do that. It was. Dolphins are so freaking smart.
Yeah.
Like, which we've heard, right? It's not like some. But just to see that like in action and hear the trainer, and if you've gone to SeaWorld before, you've seen how smart dolphins are, but this was just different. So yeah, man, it was good. It's good to be back with you guys. You guys can always interact with us. 913-586-7965. Also the video stream up and running, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, X. Later on in the day, we'll also talk about where Cody's going. Randomly, I don't know if you mentioned this on Friday yet.
I did not. It has not been discussed on the show.
Cody's going to be gone for a little bit for different reasons. We'll get to that later.
That makes it sound like I'm going to jail.
Well, the FBI remember? You guys remember a couple Fridays ago?
That makes it sound like I'm like going somewhere nefarious. We'll talk about it later in the show,
A couple
okay?
Fridays ago when Cody was gone, or Thursday, remember? And that was the day the whole Chauncey Billups FBI thing happened. And we said, huh. I'm just saying, Cody's going away for a little while.
Going away. That's a terrible way to put it.
What a way to phrase that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He is. He's going away for a little bit.
Let the speculation begin. Yep. You guys can find out later in the show.
913-586-7965. All right. We know it was the Chiefs bye week. Getting ready for the Broncos. We'll talk Broncos throughout the week. We'll have some guests on from Denver. But you keep an eye on what was going to happen in the rest of the AFC on Sunday.
It matters
and
right now.
It definitely does. At top of the the AFC, it continues to be the Patriots and the Colts. They both find a way to get wins. And the Patriots, I thought in particular, this was a massive one for me, at least, because their schedule's soft, super easy, but the Bucs were one of their toughest games remaining.
And the Bucs moved the ball really well. And it wasn't an easy win, but they won.
Drake May's out here. He's the MVP favorite. He's co-favorite right now to win MVP. And they just did it against the Bucs. I think that's why he's the co-favorite, because it was against a really impressive team. The Patriots, maybe you still think it'll be the Colts, but the Patriots, I think, are actually going to be the number one seed.
I'm leaning that way. So we did, maybe it was Friday, we did it. Hey, if you had to restack the AFC 1-7, where would you have them? And I put the Bills 1 at that time, but we had the open conversation. Drew put the Patriots 1, and we had an open conversation about, like, I was very tempted to put the Patriots there, but just couldn't quite pull the trigger yet. And so, like, I was having a little bit of an issue getting there. But of the, it's like there's 3-8-2 teams. And you can start there in the AFC. And if you said, which of the AFC, the 8-2, three of them, 8-2 AFC teams, do you take the most serious? At this point, the answer for me is the Patriots. Even more than the Colts, who had their own impressive win, and certainly Jonathan Taylor is an absolute force. And so that part is there. But, like, if I look at the teams at the top of the AFC right now, it is still the Patriots who look like they've got it together. They got a running game, they got a defense, they got a quarterback playing at a high level, and a coach that we respect.
Yep.
And so there's a lot of belief there with what they're doing. Overall, not that bad of a weekend for the Chiefs. The only thing that would have been better is if the Steelers had shown up against the Chargers. But the Jags blowing a massive lead, getting outscored 26-0 by Davis Mills, old giraffe neck on Sunday at the end of that thing. That was great for the Chiefs. Obviously, some of the other AFC teams struggling was good. I mean, that was fine.
The Jags loss probably is the most impactful thing of the weekend, truly. Yes. As much as we enjoy seeing the Bills lose, Super Bowl hangover after beating Kansas City.
Yeah, that was fun, too.
The Jags one is the most important, because Kansas City, as we said a week ago, they have to be, at minimum, one game better than the Jags the rest of the way. If we're just talking about getting in the postseason, just talking about being the seventh seed. I know that's not what anybody in Kansas City wants them to only be, but you got to get in the dance, right? And so that's the requirement. And the Jags dropping one in that fashion, a game in which they controlled, as you said, I saw the score just kind of pop up. Admittedly, I did not watch the game. And I saw the score, and I'm like, oh, this game's over. Jags are going to win. And then I was like, what the heck happened in the fourth quarter?
Fell apart. Trevor Lawrence is no good. Yeah, Texans defense is. And some combination of those two things made it look bad. It was a, look, I think it probably spoke to, if you look at this, the, like, my big takeaway from the AFC this weekend was the NFL can still get you. Do I think the Patriots and the Colts are going to win out? Nope, I don't. Someone will get them. I don't know who. Probably a couple of times we'll get them. The Ravens, who were dead, rightfully so, but the odds makers certainly didn't think they were, as they continued to be somewhere near or actual favorites to win the division, showed up. The Chargers, the Steelers, had a huge win against the Colts last week and then got their ass kicked by the Chargers.
Yeah, the NFL,
who were down a million players.
This is what's crazy. It's why the NFL is great, though. What you just said, and late, like, this is why it's tough to predict survivor leagues, and you're doing sports betting and things like that. You think you have it figured out. You think, all right, there's no way this team's going to lose to blank team. This is why it's great. It is unpredictable. You're right. You thought the Steelers were going to get going a little bit, and then they have that performance. At one point, the score was, 3-2? Last night?
Yeah, it was 3-2.
3-2?
And then 5-3 for a little bit, too.
It was, that's true. 5-3.
That felt right for a while. And then eventually, yeah, the Chargers did kind of settle in. Aaron Rodgers just looked really old. Every week he doesn't look old. Last week I was actually praising him for playing a lot better football than I thought he would into his early 40s. And then he looked every bit of 42 yesterday and, like, fell apart at the seams because he couldn't move. He was stuck in quicksand and, you know, they were having a good day on the defensive line. I still don't think the Chargers are a real threat down the road, because I still don't think you can have both your offensive tackles missing. Now Gatson's getting an MRI, which is one of your better weapons, too. It just doesn't feel like injuries is going to be the story of their season. Not that people were wrong on the Chargers this year. To me, it'll be people were wrong on the Chargers because they got hurt, not because the talent wasn't there.
That's the three division wins they have, though, in their back pocket are massive already. Well, I agree with you where they're trending. I mean, reality is they have 6 wins, don't they, on the season, or now 7 or whatever it is. 6 or 7. I did not mean to do that. But I did not mean to, I swear.
We talked about it with Vinny on Friday.
Yeah.
He had a kids camp, so he heard a lot of it.
Point being, they already have a win or two better than you, and they've got 3 division wins in their back pocket. So while we may think they're going to slip up and don't believe in them, at some point, the math is the math on where the Chargers sit.
When you, I guess, this all goes back to the same thing. The Colts, the thing about them is very simple, which is if any team in the playoffs figure out a way to just make Jonathan Taylor semi-human, then they'll be fine. And I got to say, there's a long history of NFL teams doing that when a team is led by the running back. That in just one playoff game, Gold, a divisional round, an AFC title game, even a wild card round, that if Jonathan Taylor finishes some playoff game with 75 rushing yards, that's it. That'll be all she wrote for the Colts in that. And they're a good team. I'm not even saying that. But when you are led by Jonathan Taylor in yesterday's game, man had 270 yards and 3 touchdowns.
What, the 82-yard run or whatever?
He has 15 touchdowns on the season or something like that. And he's on pace for well over 2,000 yards. He's having a ridiculous year. But, like, there's still a part of, like, if one game he gets held down a little bit, and then
Daniel Jones,
Daniel Jones will still exist. And so, like, that's the part with the Colts that I just can't take serious yet, I guess.
But, you know, if they're going to end up being, you know, it's either them or the Patriots, it seems like, for the number one seed right now. If one of those is the number one seed, you get the bye. You're only asking them to string together two of those games to get themselves to a Super Bowl instead of three. Do I think the Colts can win three to get there? No. Can they win two? I'm leaning more and more that it's a possibility. And, you know, I'm very skeptical on Indy. I've been called a Colts hater.
I think the bye is really important for them.
Yeah. It's something that I think we always discuss with the top teams, but for them, the dome aspect, not going outdoors, and just the quarterback situation. And I don't remember when the Colts bye week was, if they had an early bye, and they've been pretty healthy as a football team too. And that's the one thing that with a lot of season left, we're only heading into week 11 after tonight. There are still going to unfortunately be with one of these contenders, there's going to be some more injuries. And how does that take a team off their current course?
He has, someone saying Jonathan Taylor has 5 games of 3 or more touchdowns.
Jeez.
I mean, if you had bet that, like if you just every game bet Jonathan Taylor, typically you'd get some pretty good odds and someone getting 3 touchdowns in a damn game. And so it's crazy. And I understand the stats and look, people are going to bring up the MVP stuff. And this goes back to the same adage. Do I think he should be in the MVP conversation? Yes. Will he win it? No. And that's fine.
And those are two different things. Because, different. To me, some of it is wasting our time discussing whether or not he can win it. You know, because we have done this for a couple of years with Saquon.
Christian McCaffrey.
Heck, even a couple of years ago for Rookie of the Year. Remember when Puka was putting up a historically great year? He didn't win it. C.J. Stroud did. The quarterback always has the advantage. But we can also acknowledge what Jonathan Taylor is doing is at a ridiculous pace. Darn near historical as well. I just don't think we need to. I feel like now every Monday, everybody wants to then talk about Jonathan Taylor, why he should win MVP. And it's like, we can do that, I guess. I just, there's a lot of things that we think should happen, but don't. And after like 3 years of saying it with similar circumstances, I just don't have a lot of, I guess, energy to have the same complaining about running backs in the award market.
Yeah, can we just agree that, yes, he should be a part of the conversation? We all agree. Like, I don't, other than it's like, I got to shine light on this. On what? Running back? I don't care.
Also, everybody's shining light on. You're not breaking, you know what I mean? Like, you're not exactly going out on a limb anymore and like saying something that nobody else has been saying right now. If you're like, you know what? I think he should get more love. Yeah, I've heard that from everybody. I think we all agree.
And yes, I do not disagree that he deserves all the credit in the world. Fine. But it's also just their thing is still coming down to, I don't trust any team in the playoffs who relies on the running back being their single best player without a dominant unit to go with it. So like the Saquon year, they also had the league's second best or first best defense and a quarterback that I think we take more seriously than Daniel Jones. I'm not saying Daniel Jones is bad, but certainly a guy that we respect more in this moment than we do Daniel, you know, like in Jalen Hurts, who has been to a couple of Super Bowls and won one.
Over the weekend, Adam Schefter had some interesting reporting. I know the trade deadline was on Tuesday afternoon, and we were wondering if there was something that was going to come in at the end of the deadline there, and it didn't. The Chiefs, though, Adam Schefter reported, maybe we're closer to a trade that nobody was talking about. Like, this was not a name that anybody was speculating about. Boye Mafe, who was a player, obviously, a couple years ago, draft time, that I know was discussed in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. But he's a current member and still is a member of the Seattle Seahawks.
He was Adam Schefter, every mock draft for a long time. You remember how much we mentioned Boye Mafe?
Yes, and he was somebody that apparently the Chiefs were very close to acquiring. Adam Schefter said, basically, the Seahawks at the last minute pulled the plug on it. Like, that's how close this thing. Now, we don't know the exact compensation. We were talking off air, like, do we think this was a conditional fourth, or a third would have been pretty high.
I don't think it was a third.
Boye Mafe this year, 8 games, 13 tackles, tackle for a loss, 2 QB hits, no sacks, 2 passes deflected. They're kind of using him as a situational player. I would have been interested. This is another, you know, kind of Brett Veach special. If they would, you can see why he was interested. And
yeah, this former high draft pick.
If you're Seattle, I get why they pulled the plug. They're one of the top teams in the NFC. Why would they be trading?
I think partially because he's not really getting on the field for them. And while depth matters at the defensive line, as the Chiefs well know at this moment, I would say that there's still part of me that says, well, let's see exactly kind of what they're getting out of it first before they make those decisions. Look, a lot of it is, I think my biggest issue at the moment is they have now for 3 or 4 years in a row, I got to read some article, be like, Chiefs made a strong play.
That's true.
For an offensive lineman at the draft. It was like, hey, are you planning on just talking about this or fixing it? Because admittedly, your defensive line has been the weakness of your defense for the last 4 years. I'm not saying the defense has been weak all of those years, but the weakest part of the unit and every year on defense for multiple years has been the defensive line. This is not a mystery. I'm not breaking new ground for the Chiefs. So instead of kicking the tires on this, one of these times you're going to have to take a swing, either in an offseason or at a trade deadline, and take a chance on a guy like Boye Mafe. Would I have been fine with getting him? Hell yeah. I told you I wanted him to get defensive line help. It was the only thing out of the trade deadline where I'm like, I didn't lose my mind over the lack of trades in the trade deadline, but I would have appreciated a little bit of movement on the defensive line, certainly indicating that's where they are. And if they struggle to continue to get to the quarterback, I think we're all going to point back at what could have been. Yeah, what could have been? I forget the Breece Hall one. That one bothered me a whole lot less. But
yeah, what was the reaction on what? So that happened.
There was text line, definitely want a Breece Hall.
I think that's how I thought it would go. I mean, I think right before I left, I sent out a tweet. So I'm like, I'm glad Brett Veach did not, in my opinion, overpay for a third round pick. And most people disagree with me.
I don't understand why the Jets didn't just take the fourth.
Correct. Fourth round pick, I would have been obviously fine with Breece Hall. I don't need them giving up a third round pick for a running back that's no guarantee to be back in Kansas City next year either. But we don't have to rehash that. I'm sure you guys talked about that a ton last week. Boye Mafe would have been intriguing. It, with the understanding, though, if you were trading for him, as we said before the deadline, is he someone you're actually going to play, that Steve Spagnuolo is going to play? Now, I would like to think if they were trading for him after what happened last year,
then
that would be the intent. Yeah. So Seattle, I get why they didn't want to trade him, though. Like, I understand you're saying that he wasn't playing a whole lot there, but you're a Seattle team that has, they're a legit Super Bowl contender in Seattle this year. Sam Darnold's playing at an MVP level.
Oh, they're one of the best teams in the NFC.
They're very, very good. They have a chance. I know the Rams are playing extremely well, but
a chance to win the
NFC West. So I don't know why Seattle was interested, but you're right about this is 3 years in a row, seemingly, where you could only expect the leak came from the Chiefs side again. Like, hey, no,
we tried.
But clearly that came from the Chiefs front office. I mean, it had to have. The Seattle Seahawks are not leaking out that they were thinking about trading Boye Mafe. That does them no benefit to talk about trading a player they have. It only would benefit somebody on the Chiefs end to be like, see, we were trying. We tried to improve our defensive line, but they pulled the plug on us. You know, what do you want us to do?
No, and I...
That's kind of how it feels to me.
Hey, we're doing... Like, and we almost got Breece Hall. You're like, yeah, I mean, I get it. Part of it is, if they had given Breece Hall a contract and there was a contract to be had that made sense, I'd have given up the fourth. But it has to be for a long-term player, because a fourth is what I would expect to give a running back in next year's draft, and Breece Hall's young enough that I actually think I might get some years out of it. What I didn't understand from the Chiefs' end on this one, and this is where Boye Mafe is a little bit different because his defensive line is... You could have solved running back for 5 years. I'm like, no one's ever solved running back for
maybe
5 years.
Three,
in the NFL.
Maybe for three.
Maybe.
Two.
I once watched Todd Gurley retire at 27. Like, easy there. You can't. Running back is solved 2 years, maybe. You draft an absolute dude, you got a couple of years of for sure gains. And if you get like one of the rarest of rare ones, Christian McCaffrey, Jonathan Taylor, maybe you've solved it for four when they're young. If you gave Jonathan Taylor money now, he's only 26, by the way, which is weird in its own right.
Feels like way older.
Oh, I feel like he's been in the league for 20 years.
I mean, it's the same draft class as we all know, as old Clyde.
Yeah, they missed on that one. I don't think we have to think too hard on that. In retrospect, had they taken a first-round running back and taken Jonathan Taylor, no one would probably care they took a first-round running back, and everything would be fine. But, look, you don't hit on every draft pick, and so I'm not going to get bogged down on that. But, yeah, the defensive line stuff, that's going to be a huge part of where we get this offseason and where we talk about this offseason stuff and all of that other stuff. So we have to ride that a little bit. I was worried, admittedly. I thought you weren't going to make it to work today.
Oh, man.
quite a bit of travel delays in the country at the moment, and you were coming from the Bahamas, which meant you had to catch more than one flight in order to get here.
Yeah, I mean, we're all well aware of the current FAA situation with some of the flight reductions, and so they were notifying people days before your flight, you know, if your flight was getting canceled. I thought I was good. I did not hear anything on Friday or Saturday. Saturday, my flight got moved. I was flying back yesterday, but my Sunday flight got moved. And then yesterday at noon, I got a text, and I texted you guys. I'm like, hey, just a heads up. My flight from Atlanta to Kansas City got canceled. I'm like, I don't know if I can get out, because in the same text, they said, hey, we were unable to rebook you automatically on another flight. You know, basically, good luck. And so I was like,
what a wild thing. I can't believe that that's the system of operation. Just point, not the airline, just all airlines.
Right.
Good luck getting home. You're like, no, we signed like a contract, essentially. I paid you money to get me home.
Well, normally they do just rebook you, but I guess they didn't. So I at this point in time, I was still out, like, and about. I hadn't checked out of my room yet. So I'm like, I got to go do that first. And then I finally found a flight. I was like, oh, do I have to fly back Tuesday morning? Like a different airline, spend X amount of money and just get here like today at like 11, which would not be good for the show and everything. Monday, I'm in, by the way, not Tuesday. And finally, I found they were able to get me on a different Delta flight, and our flight was then delayed 2 hours. Trent McDuffie was on the same flight.
Oh, and, man, he's linking back to the facility today?
We got back around 11 o'clock last night or so. Could have been worse, but it was annoying, obviously. That was the only bad part. The rest was honestly incredible. It was one of the best trips I've gone on.
Really? Yeah. Enjoyed it?
Yeah, it was. It was nice to just check out. Solo trip, by the way. Look, I understand if you're married, you have kids, obviously you're never going on a solo trip. But there's
pretty unlikely,
I will say this. Solo trips
without kids.
Yeah, like having lived in other markets where I didn't know any people when I first moved there. A long time ago, I learned, like, hey, if you want to go do stuff, you can't just be like, well, I don't know anybody there or whatever. Otherwise you'll be miserable. You're just going to stay inside. So a long time ago, I decided I'm not going to let that stuff kind of stop me. So I was like, no, I'm going on this trip. A lot of my friends are married and have kids. Like they're not going.
Can't just up and go to the Bahamas.
Yeah. It's like, no, I want to do this. I hadn't been out of the country. And I'm really, really glad I did. It was a ton of fun. And yeah, the dolphin thing was the coolest part of the whole trip.
You'd be proud of me. I did not, even though I think other shows try to take a shot at you and had serious questions about you traveling alone.
Which shows did that?
There were some questions on Friday.
Rob and Carrington came like bursting into the door to asking, did Alex travel by himself?
Yeah, I said, absolutely. Yes.
They said to the Bahamas. And they thought like maybe it was vacation dependent where it would be acceptable to travel alone. Oh. But somehow the Bahamas felt like an odd choice for solo travel.
I mean, if you want to know the truth, other than swimming with the dolphins, I just chill on the beach and drank Bahama Mamas and stuff. I didn't need anybody else for that. And by the way, there's something to be said when you only have to worry about yourself and like your own schedule. Like if you want to go walk somewhere for 15 minutes and then you want to go take a quick 30 minute nap. Like nobody, you're not on anybody else's schedule. It was,
I said nothing. I don't care if you traveled solo.
I had a great time. I will say this real quick. I didn't know about the Carrington stuff. That's interesting.
Oh, they just came in because they were confused about
that. That was an in-depth
travel.
Conversation with, it wasn't just Robin Carrington's
weird.
Everybody.
Carrington's weird on his trips though. Like he's gone for 3 days, says he's going, and there's never any photo evidence. Mm. There's never any conversation when he gets back. Like, how was the trip? Who did you go with? So I don't think his trips are solo trips. He just doesn't tell us who he's going on trips with. I don't know what's worse. Mm. Anyway.
Yeah, hard to say.
Go ahead.
A lot of the conversation, because Speck was like, did he travel by himself? I was like, yeah, I think he went solo. He was like, man, and he said, more power to you.
Drew and I defended you.
Yeah.
What do I care if someone goes on a trip?
Correct.
Enjoy your life. Yeah. I like going to the, and then we talked about, do you go to movies by yourself or dinner? I'm like, I'll do all of those things.
When I lived,
I will not go to a movie by myself. So I can just hang out. Better.
When I lived in other cities that I didn't know anybody when I first moved there, that was the first thing I did was go to movies by myself. Because here you think about it, this is why it's a terrible spot for dates. The same thing in reverse applies on why it's great if you're by yourself though. Once the movie starts, nobody's talking to anybody anyway. You're there for 2.5 hours watching a movie.
If you're enjoying a good movie, yes, that is the case. Did you do anything special besides swimming with the dolphins?
Special? I don't know about that. I mean, the beaches were gorgeous.
Scuba or, you know, did you go do some other stuff?
No, there's a huge, like, the place I was at, it's like the Atlantis. So it has, you know, the famous water slide that goes way under. So I did a little bit of the water park stuff. But mainly, man, I just chilled at the beach. Like,
just relaxed a little.
Chill at the beach. At night or whatever, obviously, that's where it was different. I just hung out in the resort, and there was a casino and sports book and stuff. And so at night, I would go and watch.
Win any money on the table?
It's perfect.
The table minimums were $100.
What?
Yeah.
Hey.
I was not playing.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
Man, some people got some dough.
Yeah.
$100 minimums.
$100 table minimums there on blackjack and craps and everything. Well, craps was roulette was less than that, I guess. Roulette was
20 grand.
Yeah. So no, it was one. I've never been out of the country. I wanted to do it. The funny thing though, across the street from the resort, there's like a couple local places, and I mainly like 99% of the time stayed on the resort property for a lot of reasons, but because I was by myself.
Yeah, sure.
But across the street was like a little market grocery store, but I would call it more like a convenience store. So it's a local
like
place.
Bodega-y.
Yeah, yeah. So I walk in. I needed to get more sunscreen, and the hotel pricing was absurd, and it was a little bit cheaper across the street. So I said, all right, I'll walk across the street. And I get in there, and I'm in line or whatever, and I'm like the only clear non-resident of the Bahamas there, right? So I'm sticking out like a sore thumb. But anyway, so I'm there, and one of the guys that's working there, they have a TV above them, and it's like, turn it up. And I look up, and it's Judge Judy. And the guy's
turn
like, that's my girl. And he said, that's my girl. He's like, I love Judge Judy. Apparently they love Judge Judy in the Bahamas. I'm like, you know, she's like 85. He's like, oh, I thought she was dead. I was like, no, she's not dead. And somebody else started talking, and it became a conversation about Judge Judy for about 3 or 5 minutes.
She apparently had an extravagant Bahamas birthday when she turned 80.
Really?
So maybe they just like that.
Maybe that's what it is.
Maybe.
Adore her there.
According to this article online, Judge Judy spent her 80th birthday there. And like had like a white sand beach blowout, you know, just like rented the whole place out. So maybe they, maybe she just had an awesome time in the Bahamas and threw some money around. Who knows?
The only other thing that happened real quick, I texted you guys this Wednesday morning, my flight out. We were just joking the day before.
Oh yeah.
How ridiculous some of the airplane etiquette is. I have an aisle seat, middle seat next to me. Some girl, she's probably 23 years old. Okay. Feet on the seat. Curled up in a ball, no socks, no shoes.
Barefoot.
That's unacceptable behavior.
Isn't that ridiculous?
There's very few things. Remember, we fought over the tank top thing where I think people can wear it if they want to. Maybe it's not what I'd wear, but, you know, you can. Bare feet on the airplane seat.
Gross for her, but also, I don't need your feet right next to me, you know?
Really terrible. Really terrible.
I told you it only happens to me on these flights.
I think it's just we observe.
How do you not see that? I mean, someone's feet are right there.
That I mean, on the seat, I feel like it's hard to notice.
Be tough to miss.
It's hard to not notice.
Be tough to miss. Yeah. Don't forget, Monday's football coverage is presented by Busey Bank, where they're focused on success. At Busey Bank, they've been building business and growing wealth since 1868. Learn more at buseybank.com.
All right, up next, let's talk about Chris Jones a little bit and what the rest of his season can look like. And we got more details on the couple of the Guardians pitchers that are now involved with the...
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground, but Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
FBI. Just getting started here on a Monday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Anything happened for Drew while I was gone? Did you win the Monopoly pieces or anything? I know you were playing.
Drew seemed to have a pretty normal week.
Did you?
No, I did not win anything other than, I guess, an apple pie or a hash brown here or there. But I did. I got closer to. I thought it was over. I went I got the wife some hot chocolate yesterday. Right. There was a Monopoly piece.
On a hot chocolate
yesterday.
You got hot chocolate from
and I got
McDonald's?
I've had it before. I am now one location or one spot away from getting one of those $50,000 Monopoly Go locations. So I thought it was over with, but I'm holding out hope for the final piece.
Isn't everybody one spot away though? Isn't that the whole point?
Correct. Like, yes.
Like, don't
yes.
we all have, like, we're just a Park Place away from $1 million bucks We're just Indiana, whatever the railroad is. I have like three of the four railroads. We're all missing the short line. I think we all need short line.
Okay.
You know?
I thought
Monopoly was over. Honestly, I thought it ended November 2nd.
I just think I can't be bothered.
I went to a McDonald's before I left out of town, and they already didn't have the cups anymore. Like, they're back to normal cups, back to the Chiefs cups. There were no pieces on my large drink.
I got hot chocolate yesterday, and the hot chocolate had a Monopoly piece on it.
That's probably the only cups left. Still
what
got them on there.
Did you say, or what a railroad?
Short line.
Yeah, short line.
See?
That means that, hang on, if we know anybody in California or Texas or Florida, it feels like those are, if we know anybody, hey, can you go to a McDonald's in California?
But they get short line, they'll just keep it for themselves.
That's the one that everybody needs.
But listen, this is where you say, I'll take you on the vacation if you do me a solid and give me the code.
Why would they take you? Why would they just take a friend or a family member? Why are they taking you?
I'm saying they might need... Pennsylvania Railroad.
No, but that's common. Everybody has. I guess that's what I'm saying. Is like, there's three that like everybody gets, and then there's the one that to win.
I think it's based on location.
So you think?
I did have one interesting food experience this weekend, I'll say admittedly, and then we can talk about Chris Jones, which is Kansas City is a very unique food town in a lot of ways, and I appreciate this about this. My grandpa, who's, you know, Banny Bancroft, is 95 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
He still like lives in his own house and all this stuff. Wasn't feeling well, so he had to go get checked out this weekend. He was, you know, they've got him like, you don't want to eat the hospital food because they're checking him out. He's gross. Doing okay at the moment, but like they're checking him out. He's like, this hospital food stinks. He requested a barbecue sandwich. And so.
So you went out and got him.
Yeah. Even though they were looking at his heart and they were like, hey, let's make sure his heart's doing well. He's like, I'd like a barbecue sandwich. I'm like, you're 95. And so I went to Gates. I popped to the Gates and got him a beef on bun. I got you covered, Grandpa.
There we go.
Don't you worry.
Yeah,
Kansas City, you're sitting there, you want a barbecue sandwich, you get a barbecue sandwich. I got a million places I could get one from. That one just happened to be closest to the place he was at. And so we're like, you wanna eat? Housed it. I got him that and a chocolate shake.
Yeah, whatever he wants. Whatever he wants.
At 95, I'll tell you right now, if you try to hold back some food for me, we got problems. If I'm 95 years old, I'm allowed to have what I want.
Yeah, whatever food or whatever vice you want in your 90 or 95, you get.
Correct. I agree. Let's talk some Chris Jones. He was, he had a bad first half. I don't think there's any other way to parse it. Half being relative, obviously, because they're 9 games in with 8 to go. The question I was asking myself at the end of last week, and trying to think about it a little bit this weekend, is not how he did, but what I think he's going to do instead. Like, do I expect him to be better? And the truth is, the only way I expect him to improve Gold is if they play him less. And I know that doesn't make a ton of sense, but I think with less snaps on defense, more, not situationally, doesn't have to go full Khalil Mack or these guys who just come in on third down to get after the quarterback, but with just a few less snaps and a fresher Chris Jones, the end of game stuff maybe that could still be there. Because the truth is, right now, I'm having a hard time seeing a path. I don't expect him to be as bad as the first half, but I don't expect him to be normal Chris Jones for the second. And so while I expect improvement, I don't expect him to be the same anymore. I'm not just not counting on that.
The only hope that I really have is that it is going to be a fresher Chris Jones in the key spots. And that was why around the trade deadline, I thought it was crucial for them to try to go and actually acquire some more defensive line help, because you're at a point where, whether it was the Jags game, when I remember Nate Taylor was discussing how gassed Chris Jones was, which what led to that play that obviously did not look good on film for everybody to see, where Chris was kind of standing there and he was clearly gassed and there was nobody really to put in the game in that spot. And that's what I think has led to the inability to have like that closing moment from Chris Jones that we've become so accustomed to seeing throughout his NFL career, future Hall of Fame career. But I don't know how that changes unless somebody else is stepping up, though, because in order for them to ease the snaps a little bit, given his age, to keep him fresh, well, that means you need more out of Charles Omenihu. That means you need more out of Mike Dana. And they did not go and acquire anybody else. So this is what they got. And that is my concern with why I think it'll be better. Now, I don't think he's washed, as we said a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I don't think he's just a bad football player.
He's at 2 sacks. If we're just basing it off his sack numbers, do I think he's only going to finish with 3.5-4 sacks this year? No, I think he ends up getting to 5 or more, which I know is way down from what we were hoping. Although last year he had 5.5 sacks, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's still below his normal range.
Way
he
below.
Needs to be at least, look, he's an interior guy, so I don't need him to be at 15 every year, but 8 to 12, 10 to 12, that's a range that I would expect. He's got 2.
Yeah, he just has to be better. I just wonder if part of that is being fresher in the closing moments. And I know a lot of people, understandably so, will point at the money and be like, hey, man, I don't care if you're tired, X amount of money. Look, the money is the money already. There's no the money is the money attached.
Yeah, he's owed what he's owed.
You got to figure out a way to have him be more impactful for you. And yeah, he has to be better. But we can sit here all day and say, well, he's not living up to the dollar amount. Like if he ends up with 7 sacks, it's still not the same amount of sacks you were hoping to get for a guy you're paying the kind of money you're paying. I'm talking about, and you are, the rest of the season. Mm-hmm. What kind of improvement can you see to where he's a factor again? Not that he's going to be the same old Chris Jones, because I honestly don't think
that
is. But
can I get 85%, you know? Yeah. Can I get 85% of old Chris Jones? The problem is we don't talk about it because it's not the drop-off that happens with cornerbacks, and it's not the drop-off that happens with running backs. But I watched one of the, 30 best NFL defensive players of all time in Aaron Donald fall off. And not like he didn't fall off a steep cliff. That's not what happened with Aaron Donald. Just like one day Aaron Donald couldn't get to the quarterback anymore. It wasn't like that. But he was no longer Aaron Donald. And Chris Jones had become a more effective pass rusher than him. In his last 2 seasons at age 31 and 32, that sound very familiar to you? Around Chris Jones' age? He finished the last 2 years of his career with 5 sacks and 8 sacks. The seasons before that, 12.5, 13.5, 12.5, 20.5, 11, 8, and 11. And so when you watched what happened. Big physical position requires a lot of snaps. He's been fortunate to be pretty healthy during that stretch, the same as Aaron Donald was. Extra playoff games, extra time. That's why I'm saying, and that's why I wanted like Boye Mafe, going back to that, or any defensive lineman, is I want Chris Jones on the field less. Not because I think he's an ineffective player in any regard, but because I want him fresher for the snaps that matter more. And if they're not going to get pressure the first 3 quarters anyway, at least I give myself a chance of getting pressure in the 4th.
Yeah, somebody was texting at 913-586-7965, said, hey, trade Chris Jones at the end of the season, we'll be fine without him. The contract to me is kind of untradeable at this point.
Yeah, who would move?
I mean,
who would
you're
take
talking
it?
About they're going to have to shuffle some money around, even whether when he's on the team next year anyway. But the contract is not tradable, in my opinion. So
you
got to make it work.
Here's the thing. You guys might not like this.
You also wouldn't like the compensation you would get back. Like, it wouldn't be worth trading. Because if you're going to have somebody eat some of the money, then you're getting, the days of getting a first or second rounder are long gone.
You might legitimately get like a 4th if you made someone take the entire cap in. And here's the question is, and fans probably won't like this, it actually makes more sense to extend him. And look, this goes all the way back. Because, to soften the cap number, here's part of what happened with Chris Jones, and this was a mistake. The first time they paid Chris Jones, it was the right decision. People questioned at the time, should you pay a defensive lineman this much? You're going to make him the highest paid defensive tackle in the league. Is this a good idea? Other than Aaron Donald. Like, should you pay him? When they paid him the first time, it was the right choice. Right to not let him walk. Good job. The second contract was a mistake. They should have solved their problems another way. And look, because they won at least one Super Bowl.
So they won a ring and went to another one while he signed the deal.
Technically, they've only gone to one and lost since he signed the new contract, because they signed it before the 2024 season. And now this year, and I'm not saying they can't win a Super Bowl this year. They might still. But next year they own $44 million. The year after that, $38 million.
The holdout was going into the year that they remember when he missed the Lions game. They won the Super Bowl that year.
Yes, but that was not the contract. That was the final year of his deal.
That was the moving the money around kind of deal.
So when they gave him the first long term contract, good decision. When they franchise tagged him, good decision.
Yeah.
The most recent contract, I don't even think it's crazy. If you made me right now and I could undo it, I'd unwind it.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean Chris Jones is a useless NFL player. That is certainly, neither of us have ever contended that. He's still a good NFL player. It's just a cost of what could you be getting for that money instead? And the answer is more. The answer is you could be getting more out of Chris Jones for that. And so that's the part that they're going to have to figure this out. Somebody said Donald is still a freak. I just watched him pressing 150-pound dumbbells. Well, yeah, I mean, he's still a freak of nature. He's just not. And look, maybe he was an early retiree because he didn't want to he didn't want to go out bad. You know this works gold, at least on that end.
Coming up in about 15 minutes or so, we'll talk more about what we want to see post-bye week from the Chiefs. We just mentioned Chris Jones, but just as a team, we're going to hear from Andy Reid around 11:45. They do a lot of self-scouting during the bye week. We'll see what he shares as well. We'll try to give some of our thoughts on that in just a little bit. Now, there was more news over the weekend. Yesterday, in fact, I think Jeff Passan had it first, and this goes back with sports betting and scandals, and these are two players that were being investigated, that we've known what they were accused of.
So are technically being investigated by Major League Baseball, but yeah.
Right, and so this is not a new occurrence. This goes back to why Class A and Luis Ortiz, Guardians pitchers, were not available, the last 2 months of the season or whatever it was? And that is because they are accused of ball strike manipulation, fraud, however you want to phrase it, right? Where essentially it was pretty obvious now that we see some of the details and some of the video that have been linked up with the timing of these pitches, where they would intentionally throw a ball. You can do ball strike bets. If anybody has seen live betting, you can go in there and you can bet that Class A is going to throw first pitch out of this next half inning, going to be a ball. And basically they were intentionally, allegedly, throwing balls and strike, or balls, not really strikes, balls all the time, because that was way easier to do. And there was money getting paid on the back end. What I cannot get over, now they've been indicted and arrested, et cetera, and we'll see long-term what happens.
Oh, it's serious.
Very serious stuff.
They face up to 65 years to punish the maximum?
Yeah. I don't think they'll get 65, but yes. And the dollar amount is what I can't get over. Like, we've discussed the sports betting aspect of this. What is going on with sports betting, legalized system, not legalized system, all that. Reportedly, they were doing this to make $5,000 on one of these pitches. $5,000. And how much did Class A make? You were looking this up before the show.
He was under contract for $4.9 million. By the way, when you're on suspension under investigation, you get paid the whole time. So he made the full $5 million last year, $4.9 million. And he threw it for $5,000. That's not even probably what he spends on protein bars. It's not even what that corner spent on smelling salts when the NFL team stopped paying for it. Like $5,000? You threw a pitch for five? You threw away your whole career, maybe your life, for $5,000? It makes no sense. But it also, this is probably what's going to happen with the evolution of sports betting, which is they're eventually going to take away some options that exist that are too easy to manipulate. Like, you won't be able to bet on a ball and a strike anymore because it's too easy to manipulate. Unders, too easy to manipulate. And some of these things will change just because if people get busted, and the NBA has actually been the biggest front runner as far as, they've been kind of the face of these issues in the early going, because it seems like they've got a little bit more control of it, maybe, on the other side. But these first pitch strike things, the guy made tons of money in his major league career. And look, maybe not much by major league baseball standards, but Gold, if you made $10, $12 million, what are you doing risking $5,000?
That's what I can't get over. We can discuss
$5,000. That's the most idiotic thing he did, even more than rigging the pitch.
Yeah, I just
taking that amount of money.
It doesn't make it. That's what doesn't make any sense. Obviously, you shouldn't cheat. You shouldn't commit fraud and money laundering. And obviously,
that stuff's bad too.
But I to risk the risk reward benefit here. It makes no sense. It's not like, I do this, I think I can get away with it. I can make an extra $100,000, an extra $1 million. $5,000? And now you might go to prison for 20, 30 years or more, and your career is likely, it is over. It makes no sense.
Like, I'm just,
I guess that just, we could say that about a lot of things. Like, people just are greedy, and you think you can get away with, if someone tells you, you think you can get away with something to make $5,000, people are going to,
not if,
you
know, I got like, 12 million.
I know. I'm just saying.
People are greedy.
That's what it is. That's the only explanation.
Like, I'm just legitimately trying to think, like, he's like, what's a weekly?
He probably is in gambling debt. I mean, that goes back to the, why did Jonte Porter end up in a situation?
Why did Chauncey Billups?
Why did, what we're finding out, a lot of these individuals were in gambling debt with the wrong people, if you know what I'm saying. And they were forced, threatened, whatever, to continue doing this in order to get out of it.
But this didn't even, like, I don't even know. It's just such an amount of money. They're like, how could you possibly do it? Like, if you just go to, like, a calculator and you're like, all right, if he made $5 million last year, he would be estimated, based on Ohio taxes, to keep, like, $3.5 million.
Okay.
So $3.5 million. They don't pay in 52-week installments.
No, okay, your agent takes 5, 4%, 3%, let's say.
But, I mean, just do the math here. Yeah. Like, $5,000, you make quadruple that for a weekly paycheck. It's like, what are you doing with this? And some of it just goes back to that. And look, I think until these leagues, here's what the leagues have got to hope for. Because they want these sports betting partnerships, and they're a big part of the business. And so if they want to make sure that this doesn't look funky, they just got to make sure to keep hammering anybody involved in this. And in this case, they're not even going to have to do the heavy lifting, Gold. They're being indicted by the FBI. They don't have to, like, oh, let's come down really hard on Emmanuel Clase and Ortiz. Let's come really hard. No. The federal government will take care of a huge chunk of that for you. I do got to say, super interesting because of the way the Players Association works. While being suspended, if you're under investigation, they have to pay you the entire time. So those two guys were paid their full salary every time, they just every week for the rest of time. Currently, the way it's written, they're not supposed to be able to recoup that money even if they are convicted of a crime. I imagine the owners are going to hate that notion and fight against that. You would think they're still going to try to sue. Like, as of right now, the Guardians shouldn't, under the MLBPA agreement, even if they got convicted of this, be able to recoup that cost. They would just pay them to, like, hang out. Isn't that kind of weird?
Yeah, that's crazy. But they agreed to it. That was something they could have blocked in a collective bargaining agreement. They chose not to. The other thing, as you and I know, I mean, if they end up going to prison and all that, like, as far as, I don't know what the, for money laundering, that money that they're making right now from the Guardians for Major League Baseball that they made the final 2 months or whatever it is,
yep,
that money is going to be long gone anyway, between lawyer fees, between, I don't know if there's quote unquote victims here, restitute, you know what I mean? Like, that money is going to be gone anyway. Now, the owners should want the money back, but it's not like Class A is going to go, let's say he goes to prison for 10 years. It's not like he's going to have just $3 million chill in his bank account still.
No.
That's what I'm saying.
You know how much money he's going to spend just to keep his ass out of jail?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So, like, the owners should want their money back, but let's not act like Class A is just going to be a rich man in prison. I don't think so.
He didn't make a $200 million contract. He was still in, like, we settled arbitration. Here's a few million bucks to go away. Over the weekend, though, tough. Casey Curran dropped to Gotham FC.
Yeah, that sucks.
In the quarterfinal match after completing the single greatest regular season in NWSL history. They were a dominant force. Really disappointed to see him lose an extra time to Gotham FC, especially at home, and it was cold, and it felt like the crowd wasn't the normal crowd we expected a current game because of that. A complete bummer. And Drew texted us immediately when this happened and just said he wants full European soccer now for the NWSL. Full European playoff model, and as in lack of playoff model for women's soccer and soccer in this country. Is this for all sports? Like, do you want this to be like if the Colts finished 15-2, they're the Super Bowl champions? Or
no, I think this is strictly a soccer thing, but there's few sports that you don't have to have a playoff for everything. And I think we've gotten used to that in the American side of sports, where everything has playoffs. So, of course, soccer is going to have playoffs. Of course, motorsport is going to have playoffs. You know, that's just the way
things
are.
We like playoffs here, yeah.
Yeah, we love the playoffs.
It's our system of sport.
I think that it is just, it's unnecessary for certain sports, and soccer is one of them where I think particularly for MLS, it would do a lot of good for national recognition. And I think that just developing a model that could be more respectable from the international landscape of American soccer would help if the MLS did a full season deal. I think NWSL, it's tougher because with relegation and promotion, of course, that would come along with some of these things. They don't have enough teams for that, or however the case is. I don't know exactly how NWSL or the sub-league from NWSL, if there even is one, works, but it takes away from the greatness of what the season has been for the current. Like, I think that
they were great. They were a great team.
They were a historically great team that is never going to get the recognition that they deserve because we wanted to have the playoffs, where I think the rest of the world does the regular table and the point system. Why can't America do that? And now we're going to see the current team not be celebrated in a way that they should be or should have been given the season that they had. It just feels like it's an unfit ending to a season that was historically great, but nobody's going to remember it as that.
I agree with you in the sense that if they had just decided that both men's and women's soccer in this country adopted the European model of tables and standings, I would actually probably be fine with it. I think because it's a worldwide sport and everywhere else in the world is how they do it. But we don't have enough teams for the stuff that we need to make it work. Relegation, multiple leagues. Like, I want all of it.
Particularly with NWSL. Yeah, like, MLS, it could theoretically work.
And here's the biggest issue that we're not discussing as a part of this, for the same reason that every time we have the conversation of we don't need 162 games in baseball, and correctly pointed out over on Twitch. Money. Playoffs mean money. They're not going to just give away money. There's more games, more tickets, more TV deals to be had. That was a nationally televised game for the KC Current Gold. We talk about this all the time with baseball. No league is giving up a resource that brings in money. And so, like, soccer in this country is never going to do it because they're going to make money off the playoffs.
Yeah, they could switch MLS or NWSL format, and I would have zero issue with it whatsoever. I definitely would hate this idea if we tried to do this in football or American football
baseball
or basketball. That'd be terrible. I love the postseason, and it's because we grew up in the United States, and so it's what we're used to. But still, like, that, I think it's a great way to have entertainment for fans and everything. But it's unfortunate for the current. But if you want to broaden it out to just sports in general or soccer, that's something that everywhere else does it, where you don't have a playoff system, and it works pretty darn well for soccer.
Yeah, by no means does the NFL need to have a table system. Are you kidding me? That would be a yes. It is just.
I would hate it.
It is solely soccer and then motorsport as well. NASCAR's kind of dove into that playoff thing where the rest of the world, Formula One, IndyCar, they do just the regular full season.
You can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. This Sunday, stream the Chiefs at the Broncos live, 3:25 Central. Then stay for the premiere of the new season of the hit original series Landman.
Oh, Jerry.
That's right. All on Paramount Plus. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Let's talk about what the Chiefs might have self-scouted a little bit during the bye week. And one team was offered a first rounder for a player and said no, and I don't get it. We'll explain who that is next.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground, but Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Old school security kicks in after the break-in. Too late. Simply Safe rewinds the story, stopping crime before it starts. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to detect intruders, alert live monitoring agents, and can deter intruders before they reach your door. It's proactive protection, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee and no contracts. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplysafe.com/podcast. That's simplysafe.com/podcast. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
At City Harvest, we believe no New Yorker has to go hungry. With your help, we're on the road every day, rescuing over 86 million pounds of nutritious food and delivering it free to millions of New Yorkers, transforming surplus food into sustenance, sustainability, and smiles, rallying thousands of New Yorkers to power a network of nourishment across our city. Feed good for our communities, our city, and our planet. Donate at cityharvest.org.